Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is migrating a KixPlex from one SysPlex to another using the EYU9X DPT utility. Today's presenters are Brett Dixon and Greg Totaro. Brett has been working as a customer support engineer for Kix since 1985. In this capacity, he has been involved with TCP/IP sockets for Kix development, and he has supported KixPlex SM as a Level 2 rep since 1996. Greg is an IBM software engineer with the Kix Transaction Server and CPSM Level 2 support group in Research Triangle, North Carolina. Greg began working with Kix in 1985 as a systems programmer in the insurance, banking, and manufacturing industries. He has been with IBM since 1998. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Brett.
Good afternoon, or good morning, rather. We're going to be talking about migrating a KixPlex to another Kix using the EYU9X DBT utility. Can we go to slide 2, please? So this is the agenda. We're going to talk about the problem, or the perceived problem, moving a KixPlex itself, exporting and importing, some gotchas that might sneak up on you and get you in the process, and some additional uses for EYU9X DBT. It's a new utility, and then we'll have Q&As. Could I have slide 3, please? Yeah, I would like to talk about the basic problem. In most larger shops these days, you need to have multiple environments for change control. You might have a development, QA, test, production. And so in these environments, it's easy to get hung up on doing some maintenance things. Best practices from MVS indicates that these test environments and production environments should not be on the same LPAR, just for those reasons, maintenance mainly. When adding maintenance to ESSS, which is a part of CPSM, it might force you to upgrade your test and production at the same time, and this is usually not a good thing to do. Once this has occurred, and you might need to break apart your KixPlexes, this can prove to be a difficult task. So, going back to the fourth bullet, like when you're adding a PC, when a PC routine is changed, the change will go against the code in ESSS. ESSS owns the program control commands, tables, and the data spaces. In this environment shown on the next page, you'll see that the ESSS is used both by test and production environments. You cannot change one without changing the other. If your test environment is running CICS TS41, or you're running in the 4.1 environment, and your production environment is running 3.2, then there will be two ESSSs in each LPAR. You will not run into the problem until you start wanting to move your production environment to the higher releases. We go to the next slide, please. This is just a graphic of what I was talking about on the previous slide. And this, the red, is the ProgPlex, the blue being the TestPlex, and the yellow CMASs indicate these are the maintenance points. In this scenario, both test and production are running on the same level of code. If the ESSS is upgraded, as I said before, for test, then the non-MP for the production plex, the ProdPlex, will need to be upgraded also. When the non-MP for the ProdPlex is restarted, it will not become part of the plex because it will be running at a higher maintenance level than the MP on the left-hand side. So then you're dealing with a situation where your non-MP CMAS will not become part of ProdPlex. So let's move on to slide 5, please. So here we are, we need to move the kick split. You have to separate your test from production. Not only do the kick-splex SM definitions need to be moved, but the kick's resource definitions have to go along with it. We do provide some samples in EYU SAMP. They're EYU JXBT0, EYU JXBT1, and EYU JXBT2. Give you a little history behind these. These examples were generated when KICS PM, the KICS Performance Monitor, was introduced. Performance Monitor works off of the RTA functions in CPSM. So as a prereq to buy this KICS tool, CPSM became a prereq to have that tool. Unfortunately, not every customer had CPSM installed. So what was produced were these batch jobs that were created to build a usable KICSplex environment so that real-time analysis component in CPSM could be utilized. So as the follow-on in Release 3.2, the EUI, the exec user interface, was phased out. The need for creating a KICSplex without TSO arose at that point. No more green screen. So here, like I said, EYUX JBT0, it contains JCL syntax for quick reference. JXBT1 contains sample JCL for invoking EYU9XDBT, and this is for defining KICSplexes and KICS system groups and KICS system definitions. And the last one, EYU JXBT2, contains JCL so that you can define your CM to CM defs, your CMAS to CMAS communication definitions. Can we go to slide 6, please? So this is the JCL that we were using, and this is good reference for you. This is the sample JCL that we used to export the TestPlex definitions and its resources to sequential data sets so that they could be imported elsewhere. Note that here we're using release 4.1.0 in our example. This utility, though, was introduced in KICS 3.2 at the 3.2 release. Slide, please, slide 7. So we're going to talk about some of the fields in this batch job. The context for the first one is set up to the maintenance point CMAS, CBMGT0C4. This is the MP CMAS. And then the export, that's the verb. The plex def is the DD name that we're going to move these things into. And here we're specifying that we want to move KICSplex definitions and the definition that the actual name is going to be TestPlex. As part of this presentation, we always use the MP CMAS for TestPlex to export. We have not found any documentation that states that the MP has to be used, but we suggest that you use the MP just in case the DREP of your non-MPs have gotten out of sync. I think using the MP CMAS is always the best choice. So the syntax for the command itself is the verb, the DB name, the resource type, and the resource name. Slide 8, please. The next thing that we're going to do is, now that we have our TestPlex definition and now that we've exported those, we're going to set the context to TestPlex. So now we'll export all of the resources. The export resdef into the resdef DD name, we're going to move all of the resource definitions that we have in the interest. We're using wildcard character here. So please refer to examples mentioned above. The export statement follows the same format as the previous one, meaning verb, DD name, resource type, and resource name. And in this case, the export command follow the DD name, follow the resource type and resource names, and like I said before, we are exporting everything. We are all resource types of any name that are part of TestPlex. So can we go to slide 9, please? All right, these are just the output data sets. The output data sets, they can be anything you want to call them. In this case, PlexDef has a KixPlex definitions for TestPlex. ResDef is where we're going to store all of the resource definitions for the Kix regions. And these data sets will need to be transmitted or shared with the SysPlex where the migrated text place will reside. There are ways to move it. Once we get everything safe and sound onto our data sets, we can safely move them. Slide 10, please. Sizing output data sets. This has always been a curiosity with CPSM. Due to the size and complexity of KixPlex, we don't recommend any particular size to do this. In our experience, we migrated a reasonably large KixPlex. It had 21,277 resources. And this ResDef dataset size ended up being 390 tracks, reasonably large. One of these things you need to keep in mind, though, is that, like a Corpus Server resource definition, he has a length of over 1,000 bytes. And a map definition is only 160 bytes. So you need to understand what you're moving, and that will give you a good feel for setting up your data sets. In any case, you know, you might run out of space, but if you define secondary extents, and then if you fail there with an Appian Baker 37, just make your data sets bigger and give it another shot. We go to slide 11, please. This is just some output that I wanted you to take a look at. This is a FEPI node definition. And in this case, it just lays it out what you would expect, but you can make note that this is a 4-1 definition. And now on the change agent, change release, change user ID, these fields were introduced in release 4.1. Can we go to slide 12, please? So this is things you ought to think about before you actually. Now we've got, like I said, TestPlex is safe and sound on your sequential data set. Now we're getting ready to do the import. First of all, you must have your CMAS and WUI server and Kix regions defined. The CMAS will now make this CMAS will now be the MP for TestPlex on this new SysPlex. Apple IDs and network definitions ought to be in place. The Kix regions that will eventually become the LMASs for TestPlex. And the last modification date and user will be reset to the current job and user ID of the person running the import job. That's something you might want to make note of, is that on the previous slide it showed that the user ID was IBM user, and so when this resource gets imported, the user ID will be the user ID of the person running the import job. So now that we have the export job complete and completed with the return code 0, we can send the exported data sets to the CAC where you want the TestPlex to reside. The assumption is that we've already built the CMAS and the WUI server that will act as the MP for the moved TestPlex. Here, I'd like to emphasize the fact that we are only moving the definitions and not the regions themselves. This is going to be, you know, some extra work on your part. It doesn't do quite everything, but it does move the definitions. We go to slide 13, please. And this is just the import job. And we'll go through these commands like we did on the export job. So can we go on to slide 14, please? Here we're talking about the fields. The context is now set up to IYNXCM01. This is going to be the new, this CMAS needs to be up and running. This is going to be the new CMAS, the new maintenance point for TestPlex. And at this point, when you specify that context to this CMAS, you import your Plex definitions. We could have just as easily have said on the import command that we want to import PlexDef KixPlex TestPlex. This CMAS needs to be up and running, by the way. I mean, you can't do this because with this CMAS down, the EYU9 XDBT utility is a batch job that, job that connects directly to the CMAS. Slide 15. But now that we have our test plex defined and our maintenance point being IYNXCM01, we can set the context to test plex, and now we can import all of the resource definitions that are associated with this test plex. So, and just using the data sets that were transmitted or shared with another test plex. Slide 16, please.
One of the control cards that we did not talk about was the option feedback control card that is shown in the sample on the earlier slide. And there are two options for it, option feedback quiet or option feedback verbose. The default is quiet. And if you'll notice, if you're a WUI user, whenever there's usually an error, you get something that normally says at the top of the browser, table error, data error. And it, you know, if you've been using the WUI for CPSM for a long time, that might mean something to you, but for many users it doesn't. That's the default. If for some reason during the import job you get an error, you'll get these messages by default. They're highlighted in red at the bottom of the screen. And you'll see that it says the object creation failed for action Greg act, and the reasons down below, response and reason, are table error, data error. That's if we had specified option feedback quiet. If we'll go to slide 17, this is what you get additionally on the same error if we had said option feedback verbose. Now I've condensed the import action at the top, got rid of some of the lines so I could fit everything on one page. But here we see below, we still get the table error, data error, but below that in red, beginning with the EYUXU1430E message, you get some additional messages. You'll see the problem was the create command, the response and reason codes of 1038 and 1361, that's just the numerical value that corresponds to table error, data error. The interesting part is below that. It tells you specifically what field the import command had a problem with. In our case here, it was the NetView field. And you'll see that we have up above the command action underscore NetView was CBMGT0C1. The problem is that in our new network, that CMAS does not exist. So even though we exported the Plex test Plex, this CMAS, the action that is being responsible for handling all the NetView actions, NetView alerts, was not necessarily part of our Plex. And it doesn't have to be. It's perfectly valid to specify another CMAS to handle the NetView alerts. In order to get by this, what we have to do is change, manually go in and edit the file and change the action underscore NetView value to a CMAP that will actually exist on our new Plex. We could go to slide 18, please. So here is the establishment of, once we have our Plex defined, what we need to do now is, if we're going to have any other CMAPs involved in managing the Plex, we need to define the CMAS to CMAS link definition. The first thing that we do is, we're using our utility again, is set the context to the from CMAS in the definition of the connection. Then we do the import command, and the command itself is to define one half of the connection to the other CMAS. You'll notice the parts in red are what you have to change.
In both, in this situation, the EYU9XJXBT2, the sample job that's provided in EYU SAMP, has two steps where both the to and the from definitions are built. Keep in mind, this will only work if both CMASs are on the same LPAR. If you wanted to make the connection complete, you'll need to run the same job on the LPAR where IYNXCM09 resides, and we change the context set to IYNXCM09 and to define the CM to CM def, set that back to IYNXCM01. So it's nice to have, but it can't do it. You have to manually go across to the other L part to get that connection to connect.
Of course, if you have a WUI up that's connected to all of your CMSs, then you can go ahead and define it through the WUI as well.
Yeah, once you get the WUI going, it's fine. All right.
Can we go to slide 19, please? Some of the gotchas, as we saw in the examples illustrated by the option verbose, there are some resource attribute field values that can point to non-existent resources in your new environment. And the example that we have here below on the screen is from the action def that was pointing to a CMAS that was handling the NetView alerts for CPSM. This value just needs to be a defined CMAS in the network. It doesn't necessarily have to be part of the specific CICS Plex that you're defining. So in our case, in order to proceed past this, we had to update the action underscore NetView value to be a CMAS in our new network. In our case, we changed it to IYNXCM09, and things ran smoothly. That's just something that you need to be aware of, that even though you got a successful export and you think you got the entire Plex, there are some parameters in resources that may define, that may point to non-existent resources in your new environment. And the thing is, if you start your import and you run into a problem, you can always use the WUI to delete the Plex that you had problems with at the import, fix the errors, and start it again. You can go to slide 20, please.
Some of these other gotchas that occur are specifying your link associations. And this works the same way as in BadTrap. This is if you were to migrate using BadTrap. But the link association would change from inherit to explicit. These are a couple of examples below. In the WUI view on the left, the MAS is inherited, the RTA spec, WSTE-SPEC, as being part of the KIX group's all regions. But on the right, the testplex is, after it's been exported, these inherits have become explicit. So that's just the way that it works, and it's nothing much you can do about that. But once it's done, now you've got it, at least you've got it moved over to the new environment.
You can use the WUI to go back and correct this.
Yeah.
Slide 21, please. This inherent becoming an explicit situation occurs with MON specs, WLM specs, and RTA specs. Additional information about these types of resource considerations between these three resources can be found in the Information Center at the link on this page.
Yeah, that'll get you to the Info Center.
If we could go to slide 22, please. Another use for the EYU9 XDBT utility is for backing up the DREP. As we saw, you can export all the commands individually. The problem that we have is that CMASs can stay up for weeks or months at a time. It's not uncommon for people to come into IBM and say, well, my CMAS has been running for 6 months. It's part of a 24/7 environment, so we run it all the time. Backups then taken by ADR, DSSU, IDCAMS, or Innovations SDR product, those generally have to have the region down or at least the EYU DREP file closed in order for it to do a backup, unless you're using some backup in full or backup while open utilities. The problem then becomes when you need to actually restore. For example, we've had customers come in and say, as a systems programmer, they were doing some administration work and they accidentally deleted a resource or they accidentally modified a resource using the WUI. And now they desperately need to get that resource back the way it was. Well, if all they have is a full data set backup using one of these utilities on the screen, The only way to get to find out what that resource was is to bring a CMAS back up using a restored copy of the EYUDREP file, and a lot of times they have to do this on an LPAR that's isolated from anything else so that it doesn't accidentally connect to any CMAS. Then they can hook a WUI up to it, look and see what the resource was, and then go back to their production environment and make the changes, restore that one single resource. If you use the EYU9XDBT utility, if we can go to slide 23, you can see that if you ran this on a daily, weekly, or however frequently you wanted to, you could set the context to the CMAS and then export to it. Then we have an export command with a DD name and then asterisk for the resource. What that's going to do is export all of the resources that are at a CMAS level. Those are the plexes and the CMAS to CMAS link definitions. Then what we do is have a context statement to change to a specific plex. We have context test plex. And then we export to a DD name of backup out, asterisk, asterisk. And what that's going to do is export all the resources that are part of TestPlex to a data set. And in our case, we set up a generational data group so that we can keep a history. You could set that up to keep as many versions of the data set as you want. What you'd need to do is have a context and export pair of commands for each CICS Plex that you have. And my recommendation would be to export them to different DD statements. The reason being is you set the context and then you export. It's going to write it out, but there's not going to be any kind of delimiter in the output or in the resources themselves that say it came from CICS Plex ABC. The same would be for you would want to do a context for each CMAS, and you can export that for each CMAS to get its CMAS to CMAS definition and Plex definition. When you need to restore something or need to look at history of what something looked like, you can just browse the GDG and find the resource and see, well, that's what it looked like. I can quickly add it back if need be. We can go to slide 24, please. On this slide are some additional resources and URL links for the WebSphere product, IBM support on Twitter, how to get technical support emails, and more information about us. That concludes our presentation, Joe. Joseph, we can turn this back over to you.
Thank you, Brad and Greg, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Amy, we would like to open the lines for questions.
First question comes from Michael Giaquinto. Your line is open.
Hi, Brad and Greg. Thanks for doing this today.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Question about usage of this. I don't see a use for us at this point to split out our plexes. We're split already. But if we wanted to dump our entire plex, manipulate the entries, i.e., adapt a better naming standard, change things around quite a bit, and then bring them back in, is there an opportunity in the output of the format of this process to make changes, like, for instance, like you would with perhaps with a batch rep, or is this strictly dump and import with no ability to make changes?
No, you can certainly edit it. In fact, that's what we have to do on that one where we had showed the error option verbose, where the CMAS name was wrong. We had to change that to another one. The same thing could happen. Like, suppose you have an application that's defined and you want to clone it somewhere, or maybe you want to have another version and you have to export all the file definitions, then you want to change the DD name or the dataset names and then import them back. I look at this similar to the way that I look at the DFH-CSDUP extract command, where you can extract using the program we supply, and it puts it in command form that you can then turn around and feed back in. So this would be an excellent tool for that. The only thing that you would have to be aware of is what we pointed out, those gotchas, where if you do have relations that are inherited, they are going to become explicit. and things like that.
All right, then sounds good. The batch rep utility, I mean, it pretty much sounds a lot like what batch rep does, perhaps maybe with the ability to have more global scoping. Is that essentially what it is, a batch rep, or what's the difference between this and what batch rep would do if you dump a whole set of entries?
Yeah, I think it is. I think the EYU9XDBT is a little more, it's not as clunky as batch rep. You know, with batch rep, you've got to have your CMAS, well, you still have to have the CMAS up, but this guy runs cleanly as a batch job and doesn't impede it right away. And this is just the new way, Mike, it's a utility that was introduced. Like I said, a little history behind it was because of KixPM, and it makes life easier. You can, I think that Greg, they're very similar. But what Greg had said earlier is one of the advantages is to keep backups of specific resources.
Yeah, that was a great point. We don't do that in this way, and we're going to start doing that. It's a very, very good point there. Thank you. And thanks for answering my questions.
You're welcome.
At this time, there are no other questions.
Thank you, Amy. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation.